Greetings, humans. You have entered the Command Zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Hello and welcome back to a very special episode of the Command Zone podcast. This is going to be a shorty.
Yeah, it's like a bonus minisode.
A minisode. And today we are talking about a brand new card from Wilds of Eldraine. It's one of the only legends to be spoiled at time of recording, and it is a doozy. It's Talion, the Kindly Lord.
Yeah, this card has led to a lot of speculation in the office, to the point where we were arguing about certain things, and we had to... I found myself compelled early hours of the morning to go in and try and like compile some data to see like who was right, because we've had these discussions. And then we're like, we should make a video about this.
Yeah.
It's super interesting.
It's really neat. If you haven't seen Talion yet, Talion, the Kindly Lord, is a fairy noble, a legendary for 2, a blue and a black. He has flying, is a 3/4. But importantly, Talion says, as Talion enters the battlefield, choose a number between 1 and 10. Whenever an opponent casts a spell with mana value, power, or toughness equal to the chosen number, that player loses 2 life and you draw a card. Insult to injury on that last bit.
Yeah, it automatically reads as quite powerful.
Yes. So,
yeah, I think that part is given, and I don't think the power level discussion is kind of the interesting part of this.
Yeah, the question that we all had is, what's the number? Is there a best number? Is there a number, like, are there numbers that are better at certain times? If you're playing, like, if you're building Talion, the commander, you have to know the answer to this question is what number to pick.
Or even just putting it in your deck. You're going to want, you know, when you casted it, for any reason, if it's out and you've played it, you want to know, what number am I supposed to? What's the optimal number that's going to do the most damage, draw me the most cards, mm-hmm. be the most annoying to my opponents? And yeah, within the office, as soon as we saw the card, there was a lot of speculation. There's 2 things I want to point out.
Yeah.
One is, again, to reiterate, the numbers that it's counting are the total mana value of the card. It is on opponent's casting.
Yep. So the spell on the stack.
So it's not your cards. It's just your opponent's. It's a spell on the stack. It is mana value, power, and toughness. So creatures matter more to this because they have right. all 3 numbers. Whereas if you cast a counterspell or any instance in sorcery, any artifact that doesn't have power and toughness, there's only the mana value on that spell mm-hmm. that possibly could trigger this. Whereas a creature has 3 possible spots where it could trigger. So,
right.
And then 0, you can't choose. It has to be a number between 1 and 10. And you also can't choose above 10. So not that you would, but like Emrakul and stuff like that, the power and toughness wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those are just interesting things to think about as we delved into it. When we initially were talking about the card and saw the card, what was your thoughts as far as... I know it's hard to compartmentalize because we know our data now.
Yeah.
As far as like what number would probably be best to choose.
It was tricky because it's like the first thing you keep in mind is you're like, okay, when I look at my curves, the highest part of my deck are the 3 and 4 all the time. But you're like, but that doesn't take into account the power and toughness.
Right, how does
and
that
And I play a lot of creatures. So for me, I was like, okay, that shifts it probably down for me. So it's closer to 3. But I genuinely was like, I don't know, 4 is a possibility there. And like the lower it got, I didn't think 1 was on the table and was like 2 is probably in the mix. So I was like, it's 2, 3, and 4. And it probably depends on what deck you're playing against.
Yeah. And that, I think that reasoning makes sense. I felt like 2 would be right because of like mana rocks mostly.
Right.
That was the big thing where I was like, most decks have mana rocks, and even the ones that don't have Rampant Growth, Farseek, those kind of things that stand in, and those don't have power and toughness.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, if you say most creatures are kind of going to even out, which I don't even know was correct, as we'll talk about, but that's in my mind. We had some people here who even thought 1 might be in play.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Soul Ring's in every deck.
Yeah.
And then you got things like Sensei's Divining Top, and then Mana Dorks like Llanowar Elves and Birds of Paradise are ubiquitous, and even like Sakura Tri-Velder, which is a 2-drop but has a 1 on it.
Has a 1 on it.
Yeah.
Dockside Extortionist is 2 toughness but 1 power.
Right. And those are cards that see a lot of play.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't think it would be 4. And I thought it was almost impossible for it to be 5 or higher.
Yeah. I think we threw out all the numbers above 4.
Yeah.
For sure. And you we'll talk about it in our data where it's like basically we only considered 1 through 4 and it's the only numbers that are relevant generally.
I mean, we did compile the data for 5, 6, 7, 8 and above we kind of put together. But yeah, we were like, so it's But we couldn't come to a consensus. There was people in all sort of three camps. There was a 3-2 and a 1.
The other thing that swung me toward 4 was there's a lot of commanders that are 4CMC or that are 3-4s or 4-3s. Mm. So I did see, like, 4 showed up a lot in the commander spot specifically.
Yeah, and of course, we're opening EDH rec. We're like just sort of scrolling through and just kind of ballparking it, you know?
It's a really hard thing to gather really data on, because we were like, okay, so what if we just look at all of the mana values of the top 200 cards on EDH rec or something like that? And you're like, well, you're going to see Sol Ring more, so that has to be weighted more.
Yeah.
And you're going to see, like if this card is in the top 200, that doesn't mean it's necessarily in the decks you're playing with. It's all very finicky.
The first thing we should realize is that somebody else already crunched some numbers on this.
Yes.
Which we found later once we started looking into it. You actually reach out to them, right?
Yeah. So I follow Magic Data Science on Twitter. It's MTG_DS. They release a ton of stats, especially at the end of the year. But as cards come out like this, they tend to just dig through, use their data science background and apply it to Magic. So I think they're a very interesting follow. And I immediately messaged them and was like, hey, what can we ask you to compile some data on Talion? And they were like, I already did. It's on my Twitter. I'm like, I should have checked first. You are right. But they put together a really cool chart that we'll put on the screen here of all of the numbers. And it says that it is measuring the proportion of cards in the 99 of decks on EDH rec with power, toughness, or mana value equal to the numbers 1 through 10. So what the proportion part means is that they weighted it toward playability. So
the popularity score.
Yeah. So like Sol Ring got counted way more than other cards.
Right.
Because it was measuring all of the cards that were in decks. So if Sol Ring was in 1,000 decks, it got counted 1,000 times.
You have a lot more chance that a deck you're playing against has Sol Ring in it than has Kelpie Guide in it.
Right. But, you know, if there's 100 decks with Kelpie Guide on it, we counted a Kelpie Guide 100 times.
Versus a million times for Sol Ring. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it is weighted by popularity, and their data is very interesting. So I guess we just run through these percentages and then we can talk about the most.
Yeah.
So cards with a 1 in the power, toughness, or mana value. So we'll just say with cards that have 1 is a hit.
We should clarify that. So if a card like Llanowar Elves has a 1 mana value, a 1 power, and a 1 toughness, it gets counted as 1 hit for 1. Now, if a card like Dockside Extortionist has 2 mana value, 2 toughness, 1 power, it gets counted as a hit for 1 and a hit for 2, but not 2 hits for 2 and 1 hit for 1.
Right.
Because one card cannot trigger Talion twice. It can only trigger it one time. So you're basically coming up with a percentage chance that any given spell or card that your opponent has one of these numbers on it.
Yeah.
In the right spot.
This also counts the proportion of all cards in the 99. So these percentages do include lands, which would not trigger Talion, but are included in these percentages.
Right. These percentages indicate the percentage chance that any given card they're holding or draw will trigger
this number.
This number, yeah.
Yeah. So a hit for 1, there is an 18.1% chance that a card will trigger on 1. There is a 27.7% chance that a card will trigger on 2. A 23.7% of cards that trigger on 3. A 15.2% chance that a card triggers on 4. A 9.5 for 5, 5.2 for 6, 2.8 for 7, 1.1 for 8, 0.6 for 9, and 0.3 for 10.
All right. So to translate those for our audio-only listeners,
yes,
the top hit at 27.7% is 2.
Yes.
So 2 CMC, 2 toughness, or 2 power. But close behind, about a 4%, actually, according to our friend here, a 4% differential at 23.7% is 3. And then 1 is kind of a distant third at 18.1%. So this was the overall data in sort of a super generic way that was found by not us. This is not our data.
No, this data belongs to EDH Rec, and the research belongs to Magic Data Science. Make sure you go follow them on Twitter. Super interesting. I mean, we were in the right ballpark where it's like, it's 1 through 4 are definitely our top. Four is low at 15.2%, but is sort of leaps and bounds higher than the next one. So those are the 4 relevant data points.
When we saw this, I thought 1 was much lower than I expected.
Yes. I know that, like, when I build decks, my curve is quite low in the 1 slot. Like, there's, you know, usually, like, 10 cards at one. But I did think that the power and toughness part would buff that up a little bit more than it is. But it makes sense to me that 2 and 3 are the most. They are so close. Well, 4% difference, I suppose.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty close.
Which is pretty close.
Yeah.
An interesting thing here is that this tells you that 2 is right with a blindfold on. Right. So like if you're playing against 3 random decks, 2 is going to be right most of the time. But like 23% of the time, it's not right. But some of the time, 3 could be correct.
Presumably, yeah.
Presumably 3 could be correct.
Yeah, it's close enough that there are definitely have to be some decks that have more 3 hits than 2 hits. And the question is, can we create a rubric to figure out when that might be the case so that I know when 3 is the correct pick? We gathered some data to try to answer that question, and we're going to dig into it after a few words from our sponsors. And then I'm going to flash out Illusory Ambusher. I will bolt it to draw 3 cards. I will sneak attack out Triskaidekaphile. I'm going to go to my upkeep, and I will win the game.
That was your first time playing the deck?
Yeah. Well, I mean, first time in paper. I've already goldfished it like 100 times on Archidect. Their playtester is super user-friendly. Playing cards just takes one click, and you can mulligan, tutor, and move through your turns with the press of a key. There are simple menus with counters and copies, and you can take notes on cards as you play them.
Archidect is the best place to browse, brew, and playtest commander decks. Just go to archidect.com/commandzone to get started.
That's archidect.com/commandzone. First of all, I started doing the data before we even knew this data already existed on Twitter. And I should have been smarter like Rachel and just seen if it existed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was trying to do a sort of a breakdown that would answer some questions like which type of decks maybe would not have 2 as the number you want to choose when you're playing against them. Mm-hmm. And so my methodology was I took the top commanders on EDH Rec, and I looked at the average deck for each of them, and then literally just counted up the number of hits for each number,
deck.
Right? Yeah. For each number, and then I knew how many spells were in that deck, and could get a percentage chance that any given spell that your opponent was holding would trigger on that number. So you get like a playing against the Atraxa deck, and I'll just use that since it's the top commander in the last 2 years, you get a breakdown that says, if you're playing against an Atraxa deck, obviously this is the average deck on EDH Rec, there's a 13.6% chance they have a card in their hand, or any given card they're holding will trigger on 1.
Any spell.
Yeah, sorry, any spell. I didn't count lands.
Yeah.
Because lands can't trigger it. Mm-hmm. There's a 33.33% that it'll trigger 2. There's a 39.39% that it'll trigger 3. There's a 21.21% that it'll trigger 4. A 16.67% that it'll trigger 5. It goes down from there. And here we already see that this is a deck where, to be optimal, you would want to choose 3, not 2.
Mm-hmm. So we were like, interesting. Okay. So there are situations that 3 is the better choice. Atraxa is tough because Atraxa can be built in so many ways. So it's hard to glean, and it's 4 colors. And it's,
when you click the average deck button on EDH Rec, what even theme of, is it Super Friends? Is it
Proliferate?
Yeah, is it +1/+1 toxic counters? Is it Infect? Yeah. So it's hard to even know, but that did show, it's possible that 3 is the number sometimes.
So we looked at the top 50 commanders on EDH Rec and just looked at those decks, and some were 3s and some were 2s, and even one deck was 1 is the correct answer, and that one was Najeela, which is a CEDH commander, and it checks out.
Yeah, I think we could hypothesize that CEDH will push the numbers down, and there might be more in CEDH. It might be like between 1 and 2 that you should be choosing. We don't know because we didn't do it based on CEDH. Yeah, we did it based on average deck, but we could hypothesize that. Yeah. So we did the top 50 commanders and we got some data, and we tried to now we're trying to sort of dig in and figure out, you know, what can we learn from it. As I was going through and doing the polls of the data myself, and then I didn't do all 50. We handed off. Eric did a lot of it. I would want to give him credit, Eric Lem. One thing I noticed was, like, in the creature slot, when you're counting creatures, 3 is actually more likely to sort of be ahead after if you only counted creatures. Because if you think about it, the number 3 shows up in power and toughness more than the number 2 does. Because A four drop rarely has a two power, two toughness, but often will have a three. A lot of four threes and three fours. Three threes can still be at four mana. You get Solemn Sinful Sacrament and things like that, but there's fewer cards that cost four mana that have either two power or two toughness. Once you get to five mana value, almost none of those have two power or two toughness, but they still will have three. There'll be three fives. Even three threes still exist up at those numbers if they have abilities, things like that. But you will rare, like three three flyers for five are kind of a ubiquitous thing that, that happens. So
Wizards also uses three as a balancing point where it's like, okay, this dies to Lightning Bolt.
Yes.
A lot of powerful commanders have three toughness because they're easier to kill. They die to a Braid and to Lightning Bolt and to, like, three is a very clear removal spot, especially for, you know, red decks in general.
Yeah, because they might go, oh, in testing, this is slightly too powerful. Let's lower its toughness to three as a way to weaken it slightly so that it dies to a little bit more removal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a thing I noticed was like, oh, through creatures, three is a little bit stronger, but then you get into non-creatures and instants and sorceries, not to the extent you would think, but two does tend to be a little bit more common than three. And then artifacts is where two really pulls ahead because signets, every deck has Arcane Signet basically, Talisman, Swiftfoot Boots, Lightning Greaves. Yeah, a lot of very highly played cards are sitting at two mana. And so it tended to be like, as I was compiling data in that order, it'd be like, after creatures, three is ahead of two. After instants and sorceries, two is close to three, maybe even a little ahead. After artifacts, two is now ahead of three. Mm-hmm. And then enchantments and planeswalkers usually come at the end. And honestly, three usually wins those two, but there's not as many of those in most decks.
Right.
So it tends to be like, oh, two still sort of holds on and is ahead if you were looking at it as a race as you compiled it. And so the hypothesis from here was that maybe creature-based decks are the ones where you could think about choosing three when you're playing Talion rather than non-creature decks.
Yeah, and I mean, we based on the observation on creatures, we did break things down by color to see to see if like color delineated any, like cleared anything up a little bit. And so we did, we took all of the 50, we split them into like, okay, of the blue commanders, what are the percentages?
Blue in it,
Of the green commanders, change the percentages.
Sorry. Yeah. I jumped ahead a little bit here.
Yeah.
The first thing we actually did was try and figure out, does color have any effect on it? Like, can you just say, oh, this deck has blue in it, therefore it's more likely to be this color, or this deck has green in it, therefore it's more likely to be this.
Yeah.
So we compiled, we took out all the five color stuff and then looked and we found, you want to read it?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty consistent across the board. White, blue, black, like all of the colors are, again, two is generally the best choice. The thing, like white is 38.03% for two, blue is 39.15%, black is 38.74%, red is 37.31% two, green is 37.21% two. So green is the lowest in the two slot and is the highest in the three slot. It is 34.56% of cards in green decks are hits for three. So it is like, it's a 3% difference in green decks, which tend to be more creature based or tend to be a little bit rampier. So the spells are a little bit more expensive.
I mean, yeah, when I look at this list, this chart, the thing I look at is the difference between first place and second place. And the smallest gap is green, which is the creature color.
Right.
And the largest gap is blue, which is the least creature color.
Right. Spells and artifacts, yeah.
Yeah. So that tells me, I think, and again, the data interpretation, the interpretation part is what's up for like, trust us or don't, grain of salt. But that indicates to me that I think the hypothesis that creatures tend you towards the number three and non-creatures tend you away towards the number two as sort of the better choice. But again, two is the default. So then we broke down all the top 50 decks by archetype, saying like creature-based, enchantment-based, artifact-based, to try and see if you did that, would you, there ever be a situation where you want to choose the number three rather than the number two. And what we kind of found was no, there's not.
Yeah. First, we compiled all of the decks that have over 30 creatures. And it was still the two was the best choice. And we were like, okay, what if there's only, it's over 35 creatures. So the density is even higher. And still two is the best choice, although it's close to three. And then we broke down spells. Spells is sort of definitively It's close. Two is still the best answer, and it's still the best for both artifacts and enchantments. Again,
and
closer.
Artifacts is very wide. Yeah, if it's an artifact based deck, it's for sure two.
Definitely two.
Yeah.
It's like a 20%, 15% difference between the next two. And one is even better than two, than three, excuse me. One is better than three in artifact decks. So again, even if you break stuff down by the type of deck it is, two was still winning.
It's kind of like a unfortunate outcome. I wish it was more interesting. I wish there was more nuance to it. The card is very powerful and very strong, obviously. But I think we can sort of more or less definitively say after, delving into it, that you just pick two.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk about this a little bit because there were a lot of decks that three was the best choice on the average deck. Like Lathril, three was the best choice. Ur-Dragon, three was the best choice. Wilhelt, three was the best choice. Isshin, three. Mirim, Goshen Tai. Like, there are Omnath. This is four-color Omnath. And like Gishath, Animar, a lot of these that are the Atla Pilani was best three. Sisay, even the five color Sisay was best at three.
Yeah, of the top 50, it's not like three or four were. It's like
it's a like number.
A number.
Giada, which is the Angel Tribal, was three was the best one still. Like, so I was looking at that and I was like, what can we get from that? What kind of decks are those? And it's a lot of like creature type based decks. Like, we got angels and dinosaurs and dragons and
zombies,
and those were all three was the best choice. And then,
but here's the thing about that is when you're wrong,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna wrong in quotes, right? Yeah. When three was the right choice and you choose two,
mm-hmm.
you're difference between the two is less than when you're wrong in the other direction, when two is the best choice and you chose three.
Yes.
And so that's why I think, while it would be nice to look for spots where, in this case, I'm being clever and three is better to choose, it's not almost ever going to be optimal.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing because, there are specific decks that you play against where three is the better choice, but you're playing against three decks.
Yeah.
And the odds that all three of the decks are three is better than two, it aren't very high.
Yeah, very. And that you'll be able to correctly identify that.
And so I would say, there are probably situations where three is the best choice. It's going to be minorly better, and two will suffice. But there's going to be way more where you just should have picked two.
Yeah.
And we
should say this is for casual, right? Because I can see CEDH.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. That's something a
being
whole other thing.
Two for sure every time, with no exceptions. Actually, if anything, CEDH is probably going to have this conversation between two and one rather than two and three.
I think one's going to be much closer in the running.
It's far enough behind, though. I still think it's probably not even above three, even in CEDH, but maybe.
Yeah, three seems like a weird number for CEDH. I don't know enough about it to speak definitively, I suppose. Yeah, and I was looking at these. I was like, maybe the ones that are three are just tend to be built more casually. Like, there's just less turbo builds of them.
Well, remember, we're clicking on average deck.
Average deck.
So
yeah.
That was always going
to be
a casual deck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then Tovalar, it's still best to pick two, and Tovalar is a werewolf deck. So I think
because all the huge werewolves dilute the three.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, the more we dug and the more we tried to break it down and figure out why it was three, the more it was just two's probably just good. There are probably special cases.
There's some nuances we ran into, and Zaxara is an interesting one, right? Zaxara is one of the top 50 commanders. A ton of X spells. Now, the X spells will trigger based on what the amount of mana you paid for the spell is, right? I know a lot of people understand that X is equal to zero when you're counting mana value, but that's everywhere except when it's on the stack.
Right.
So when you cast it, if you paid X is equal to three and it costs red and X, that will trigger out of four, according to Talion.
Mm.
So I think you have to assume that your opponent will just dodge whatever number you've got, 99% of the time. So you just don't count most of the spells in the Zixara deck for hits for anything.
Yeah. You're also certainly not going to be like two mana on the stack. It's an X spell deck.
Yeah, it's true.
They want it to be 10.
Right, exactly. Then there's other things like Kalia, Yuriko. These are not going to cast a lot of their cards, right? Ninjitsu is not casting something. Kalia is putting things onto the battlefield, tapped and attacking. That's not casting a thing. So it's like, yeah, you have this stuff in here that would technically trigger at these numbers, but they won't cast it. It won't matter. You won't get anything. So I don't think that changes the calculus on what number you choose, though, because the remainder of the decks are still mostly either two or three, and you still end up going with two because you're like, I may as well get the extra 4%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder, like, you and I both have Dragon's Approach decks.
Yeah.
That deck is, like, 40% three.
Yeah.
I run 25 Dragon's Approaches, and there's other three drops in that deck.
We should have done the breakdown for your Dragon's Approach deck, but yeah, I can't imagine it's not three,
it's
right?
It's got to be
my
three.
My Shadowborn Apostles deck, it's got to be one. It's there's 31 one. Cards that are yeah. one mana, one one in it.
But yeah. does that shift it enough?
Oh, that's really
interesting. Like, if you're playing in a pod with your Shadowborn Apostles deck, you know you have a ton of ones. We know that you're going to cast the Shadowborn Apostles cards over and over and over again.
Versus the other two players, where two's almost certainly correct.
Right. Does the one swing it?
I think Dragon's Approach is a lot more reasonable to choose three than a Shadowborn Apostle is to choose one. Because three is going to be already close in the other two decks.
Right.
Because we know it's usually second place. Mm-hmm. So your additional, like, waiting boost towards three may average it out so three wins, but it's unlikely that my additional boost in the one category averages out to so one wins overall.
Right.
So I think against Dragon's Approach, yes, I would choose three.
Yeah.
And against Shadowborn Apostles, I probably still choose two.
Choose two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a read too, because in those games, I think you would think, well, who's ahead right now? Who's likely to still be standing when there's when one player's knocked out or two? Because you definitely don't want to choose three, but they're almost dead. And now I chose three because of the player that's not even in the game anymore.
Right.
So there's that too.
There's definitely going to be scenarios where, you know, maybe one, two, three, and four aren't even the right call. You're like, they have to cast their commander to do anything, and they're at two life. Ha ha! I can lock you out of your commander.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like, there's probably scenarios where you can use it that way.
Or there's only one card I'm really scared of in their whole deck, and I know what it is.
And so. I know what it is, and I'm gonna draw a card if they cast it.
Like, that'll kill them. Or
if they're at a low life total. Yeah. So a Karuga Companion could be enough to swing you to three because you know one deck likely will trigger two a lot less or one a lot less. So I do think that there are scenarios where maybe you'd guess three, but it's really a very specific deck.
It's going to be 90% of the time you guess two, maybe 95% of the time. But
Yep.
But we're Magic players. We like to be clever. I want to look for those 5% of the time where it's right to choose three. Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the special mini-sode. This stuff is always fun to delve into. Let us know if you like this type of episode. It's something we could do a little bit more, which is short, on a sort of interesting topic that maybe doesn't warrant a full hour.
Yeah, it's fun to do just a little snippet of information. Make sure that you guys see it, especially when it is the one legendary that's spoiled right now, and everyone's like, this card's busted! What do I do with it?
Of course we're talking about this card. It's the only one to talk about.
Before we go, we want to say thank you to our amazing team here at the Command Zone. Thank you to Damon Lenz, Eric Lem for gathering all of this information. Thank you for your help. Megan Yip, Gaurav Galati, Jordan Pridgen, Jamie Block, Arthur Metacroft, Manson Lung, Josh Murphy, Jake Boss, Sam Waldo, Evan Limburger, Lady Danger, Craig Lanchette, Katie Cole, Mitch Trafford, Gabriel Pozos and Jimmy Wong.
The ineffable. All right, everybody.
See you next time.
Thanks for watching. Peace.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com. Or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.